I've been looking forward to this segment since the last time she was here. Nobody knows movies like Thelma Adams, so we wanted to talk with her about Sunday night's Academy Awards and find out her thoughts on possible winners and losers on film's big night. She is a self-proclaimed Oscarologist, and she is currently the film editor at Zeal NYC, and we'll talk about that in a moment. She's also the author of a terrific novel, Playdate. She has been a film critic at Yahoo, Us Weekly, and the New York Post, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Thelma Adams back to the roundtable. How are you, my friend?
I am fabulous, and I love coming here, Joe, because you've seen all the movies, and you have your own opinions, and I love it. This is my favorite radio show.
Now, so this always gets into one of those things when we talk about Oscars, which is, well, there seems to be what we want to win mm-hmm. and what we think will win.
Right.
And those are usually two different things.
Yeah, there's a split. And even in any day, you can kind of split. If I look at all the movies and I think, God, I love Force Majeure, you know, this kind of crazy Scandinavian scenes from a marriage on a ski slope.
Yeah.
Funny, sad, difficult. I like those kind of movies that have a lot of things going on at once. But if you look at the, you know, best picture this year, great movies. Okay? There isn't a slacker among them. Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest, Imitation Game, American Sniper, Theory of Everything, Whiplash, Selma. Great movies, right?
Yes.
Like crazy great movies.
Yes.
And it would be, I'm hard-pressed to say which one was my personal favorite. I think for me, and it's not fair. For me, Boyhood, I have a son who went to college this year. He's at Go Tar Heels.
Yeah.
He went down to Chapel Hill, where they had snow today. Ha! And because I was a mother with a son the exact same age who wore the exact same T-shirts from The Gap, I don't think I saw it totally as a film critic. You know, I was so wrapped up in my own feelings of being a mother and sending a college student off that I feel that's the movie I'm least objective about. On something like Grand Budapest Hotel, what surprised me there is I can be a Wes Anderson fan or he can strike me as completely twee.
Yes.
And I can say, I love this one, I hate this one, I love this one. And this movie to me was divine.
It was a beautiful film. Striking, gorgeous film. I thought of it. I don't know if you've ever saw the show Pushing Daisies on ABC.
Oh, okay.
But it very much that same cinematic feel to it. But I loved it. I don't know if I would vote for it,
yeah.
But it was great.
And also, well, obviously, left on the cutting room floor of this year in the Best Actor category, which is, I would say, the most competitive, Ralph Fiennes, that performance that he does in Budapest, he's the straight man, but he's so hilarious. He's so funny. It's such a character you don't see. And that would be an example of comedic performances that just don't make it to the top.
So let us talk about Best Picture. You mentioned them just a moment ago. American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. So we'll do two questions here. One is, which film do you think that... Is there any film on this list that you didn't like?
No.
Okay.
There's actually not a movie here that I did not like.
Okay. That's good. And then as far as...
which is unusual. Let's just say, because I'm not Little Mary Sunshine, so let's just say
that's
good. Unusual.
That's good. Because I didn't particularly like Birdman.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing.
And we can talk about that. I'm totally up to that.
I understand why it was nominated. I understand why people liked it.
Right. Exactly.
It just didn't work for me.
Right.
The thing that I find so confounding about Birdman is that if you told me, as they did, we're going to keep you for 2 hours in the backstage of a theater in New York, one of my favorite theaters, by the way, the St. James,
right,
and bring you in one continuous shot through the backstage workings of that theater, I'd say I'm in.
I am so totally in.
That is, if I had to design a movie, that would be it. That is what I would want to see. And then maybe my expectations were higher. I don't know.
Expectations were high. And I will say this, and I feel a little bad because I've spoken to Iñárritu, and I can now do that double R role on the whole
very
thing.
Very nicely.
I love talking to him, and I think he's a brilliant guy. And I talked to him for Variety about the screenplay, and I was like, wow, I could talk to him for days. I saw this movie twice because the first time I saw it, I came out of it and I said, it's trying to be smarter than it is.
Yes.
It seems like it's this big statement movie, and then at the end I didn't feel it. And then so I thought, well, you know, like maybe like you, I'm going to go see it again. It was playing at my local, which is in Hyde Park, the Roosevelt Theater. And
yep.
I took my son and we went to see it. He loved it. He hates, in a way, he doesn't like going to movies with me. And I try to like at the end, not like be the bad fairy. I loved so much about it again, but I thought, what does it all add up to in the end? Now, when I talk to Iñárritu, which you don't have the chance to do,
no.
And it should all be there on the
right.
page, it became so much more fascinating to me. But just watching it, I was a little bit like, he thinks he's smarter than he is. I mean, it should have added up to more somehow.
I had trouble with the film, and then the ending was like completely blew me out. And I thought, okay, well, I'm good on this.
Yeah. And if you look back and you think, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody, and I love so much about it, and particularly...
Well, that's it. The acting is gorgeous.
I love Emma Stone in this movie.
Great.
I love, you know, and maybe it part of the problem is the roots of it, which is I have an MFA from Columbia. We read Raymond Carver and the play. And Raymond Carver to me is like, again, is that all there is?
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, that said, I'm pulling my hair going, is it going to be Birdman? Is it going to be Boyhood? Because right now, I would say it's going to be Birdman winning the best
really?
Picture.
Really? Now,
but tomorrow I may be different, but it's not going to be Grand Budapest Hotel. It's not going to be Imitation Game. It's not going to be American Sniper. It's not going to be, blah, blah, blah.
Now, the interesting thing is I just read a poll mm-hmm. and which had American Sniper winning. And also, this is of the American people. If you were a voter in the Academy, what would you vote for?
The American people.
The American people. And but then also I did see some critical swing toward American Sniper. There was a huge ad in the Times this week, which kind of indicates that the, full court press here as far as trying to win favor for the film.
Right.
So is there a case to be made for American Sniper?
There is a case to be made for American Sniper, and I think this is the case. The case is it came out too late.
Yep.
It should have maybe, I don't know if it wasn't done, but maybe it should have played in Toronto or, in September.
Made the circuit.
When it came out, Bradley Cooper was already doing The Elephant Man or about to do The Elephant Man. So he was like not as available
yep.
as he could have been. And it is his movie. But I also think there's just this split that's happened between what Americans want to see, American Sniper, and what they're told is A+, which is Birdman and Boyhood.
Good film.
And the funny thing is, jumping off the Oscar track and talking about 50 Shades of Grey, again...
By the way, you wrote a great review on that film.
Thank you.
Very, very funny. Great review.
Thank you. And basically, here we are the Tuesday after, and people are still going, what do women want? The age-old question. The truth is that women will have fantasies that are different than male fantasies, and they actually really, as ludicrous as they are, they want to see them on screen in the same way that men want to see Scarlett Johansson playing a tough guy wearing 6-inch heels. Women don't really understand that fantasy, but you see it time and time and time and time again. Women just want their wacky fantasies up on screen.
So...
digressing.
No, a good digression. So then that leaves us to, now, if I had to vote for a film, the film that blew me out of the water, mm-hmm. that I found to be the most suspenseful film, and I was glued from the moment I walked into the theater till I left, was Whiplash.
I knew you were going to say it. I saw that coming.
I love that film. I loved everything. Yeah. Well, I can't say I love everything about it.
There were some quibbles, yeah.
There were some scenes in there that I don't think needed to happen and sort right. of questioned the credibility of the film. Okay. But first, and then you can explain to me how J.K. Simmons is in the best supporting actor category, because I don't get that. Because he's like...
Okay, that's where he could win. That's the answer.
Okay, all right. So then who starred in the movie? Was it the kid? Because there has to be a star, right?
The star is Miles Teller, and he didn't make it into the... Yeah. But he was pushed forward, and he actually is quite good.
Oh, he's
good.
The
thing about Whiplash, if I think back to when I saw it, you know, and there was so much buzz, I remember coming out of it and just being so adrenalized.
Yeah.
Like, I was so excited. The end was so unexpected. And it's a young filmmaker and drummer, and so there are some kind of learning curve problems to it, to the script, etc. But I came out of it and I was blown away. Yeah. I just was, and I, you know.
Because it is suspenseful.
It's like a sports movie about jazz.
Right. And as you say, the ending, what I loved about the movie, I love any movie that'll do this, where you just, and one of the problems with so many of the films that come out is that you know the story. You know the story and the theory of everything. You know the story of in Imitation Game. You, mm-hmm. you even know American Sniper story.
Right.
So when you come into something like this with Whiplash, you have no idea where they're going with it, and it's really fun getting there.
And it hits you on the side of the head. Whereas what you can say is Birdman should have that same feeling at the end, and you're a little like, huh?
Yeah.
And I can go back. There are some cheats in it, but okay.
Now, so that leaves us with Boyhood, which now I did not have the same experience you had, obviously, with the childhood growing up.
Yeah, I was so close, yeah.
But I do have to say that and I don't know if this should count, but to me it does, which is I think the idea of it and just the concept of it is brilliant.
Brilliant.
And the fact that they pulled it off and it worked, and that they got actors 12 years ago that were at this stage in their career, and 12 years later were at pretty much the same stage of their career is remarkable to me.
Yeah, I think it is remarkable. And also the remarkable thing is they picked a kid when he was, what, 6 or 8 to start? 6?
And you just pray he's going to grow up cute.
And yeah, and not a blemish on the kid's face.
Right.
You know, just like, how did that happen? I heard, you know, Richard Linklater, the sister is played by Linklater's daughter. And
right.
at some point she was like, Dad, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, I would have loved to see that conversation. You know, you can't bail on me now. I'll buy you a car when you're 16. But I felt like so much of it, the not only was the emotion right on, but he was searching as he made the movie. He was searching to be a good dad, to understand this kid, to be simple. I think there was a kind of awful New York Times piece in the Arts and Leisure recently that compared it to Michael Apted's brilliant 28 Up, which is a documentary.
And yeah.
To tell you the truth, this is a completely different animal, but it's not great just because he did it over 12 years. It's great because when you see the whole movie, you really feel like you've seen a life. And you really feel, and I felt, my family life aside, that feeling of the parents that they go from being the protagonists of their own lives to being supporting players.
And the other thing I loved about it is that because you do it over 12 years, that there is fluctuations. Obviously the kids change, but the adults are growing. They're aging. Sometimes they're heavier than they are other times.
Right.
And there's just that natural flow of getting older and in life, which I thought was refreshing. If I had one complaint about the movie, and I don't even know that this registers as a complaint, but just that I felt it was as much the story as the, of the little girl as it was about the little boy. And it, maybe Childhood would have been a better title because it was
you know,
so
what the
focused
original,
on the kids.
What the title was had 12 in it. The original title had the 12-year project or something like that.
Yeah.
And then last year, 12 Years a Slave came
in and they had to pull it.
And really, it could have been, they couldn't do Parenthood because TV show and all that stuff. It's really not just about him.
Because it's so much, she plays such an essential role.
Right.
And toward the end of the film, it does focus much more on him. But it is it's a beautiful exploration of parenthood and growing up and the securities and insecurities of that process.
Right. So I would be very happy to see it win. Listen, what other categories do you want to talk about?
Thelma Adams is our guest. We're talking about the Oscars this Sunday. Neil Patrick Harris is host. We'll talk about that in a second. So we'll go with actor and actress. And this, as you mentioned, a very tight contest for Best Actor. We have Steve Carell in Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper in American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch in The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton in Birdman, Eddie Redmayne in The Theory of Everything. It would seem as it would be down to Michael Keaton and Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, it's down. And it, again, is so close. It's one of those, it's a squeaker.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like Eddie Redmayne. And it's he's kind of done the Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot kind of campaign. And also one thing that you can't discount is that I think if you were going to do best actor on the red carpet, best actor off stage, Eddie Redmayne has done everything right. He is a charm pill. He has gone to every event and really, really turned it on.
Yeah.
And I think, oddly enough, to me, that seems to make the difference. Michael Keaton, again, you and I are kind of sitting on the same page. I love Michael Keaton in this. There were moments in that movie that just seemed BS-y to me.
Yeah.
Like when he throws the fit and throws everything around. That, to me, is now a scene in all movies when the male character, villain or hero, gets mad and throws everything around.
Right.
That's kind of when I tune out.
Right, because for most of us, it's just inner rage.
Right. Exactly! You know me. Joe, you know me so well.
So, I have to say, Eddie Redmayne, I thought, did a magnificent job. And I found The Theory of Everything a little bit boring. I you know the story. I found it to be a little slow. I thought the performance was amazing. I thought the storytelling was very good. I just, you know, there was a point, I fell asleep. Thelma, I'll tell you, I fell asleep.
Yeah, that usually is a sign that it's not working.
Or I just need a nap. But Eddie Redmayne's performance, you couldn't help but think, wow, this is an incredible performance.
And I would like to sing the praises of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Absolutely.
Because to me, that movie has been somewhat downgraded as a kind of BBC, The King's Speech. I don't think it is. And I have to say, I can't think of a performance by a man that is so emotional and so much on the skin. What would you say? Just like so
surface.
On the surface. So he's, you know, labile and angry and real and tormented. And I didn't feel a muscle move. I felt like that performance to me was much better than Redmayne's.
And you have empathy for him as vile as he may be at any given time with how he deals with other human beings.
Right.
And there's still that feeling of what this guy is doing, which
he
may not have been fully explained in the film, but still, it worked.
Yeah, well, again, as someone who reads a lot of mysteries, watches a lot of mysteries, I can accept when I don't understand everything that's going on.
Right. Well, I'm glad they didn't explain it. I wouldn't know about code breaking. I don't understand it. I'm glad they didn't explain it. But, you know,
some people have complained about that.
You just have to take it at its face value that he's doing something that's genius.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's enough.
Exactly. I believe it. I'll take that on faith. So do we want to talk about the best actress?
Yes, we do.
Which, can we just put in, you know, a side note here that there's a reason why the best actor category is so much stronger than the best actress, because there's just so many better roles for men of any age than there are for women. We gotta put that in there, because if you look at this, Felicity Jones, hardly a role, Theory of Everything. You do the list and then we'll talk.
All right. So it's Reese Witherspoon, Wild, Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything, and it's Marion Cotillard for 2 days, one night. And, okay, so I don't even know where to begin, actually.
Well, let's begin with this. Who's going to win Julianne Moore, Still Alice? She is, like, so far. Did you see the movie?
Yes. I did. I loved it. I loved her. Right. I loved the movie. I thought it was, it's why I love the plays that I do. If given my druthers, you know, go see a play on Broadway, I'm going to go find the most depressing thing I can possibly find and become completely engaged in it for 2 hours.
Right.
And that was the case with this
Ice
film.
Iceman Cometh.
I just love it, you know. Uh-huh. And so I thought it was very real. I thought her performance was amazing, very nuanced, just incredibly of where she is going through the stages of the illness. And there is such it's almost like a flaking of a crystal where, you know, you go from normalcy to not, and yet still trying to put on the face of normalcy.
Right.
And I thought she pulled that off brilliantly.
She did. And she's this, you know, fifth time is a charm.
And she's an amazing actress.
She's an amazing actress. They're going to open Maps to the Stars, which still hadn't opened, but it's going to open in New York City in the next month. Excuse me. And completely different performance. And I have talked to her about this for the New York Observer. I did a profile for them if you want to look it up. But what can you say? It's her year. She should win. In my heart of hearts,
yes,
I think that Marion Cotillard performance in 2 days, one night was amazing.
It was amazing. But and it's one of those things where you think, oh, okay, but so few people have seen it. Will she win?
And also, when you talk about wanting to see something depressing. although I have
says
to,
a lot, doesn't it?
I have to say this about 2 days, one night, and you know, it makes the strongest point about how when you go to work, you have to be an ethical person, and who you are at work is, period, who you are. So if you think you can go to work and be unethical or in any way dishonest, and that's not you, see this movie. It'll make you rethink.
That's a great point. So we have about 2 minutes left. Okay, are there any random categories you would like to, that you're excited about, that you want to talk? Because we assume...
J.K. Simmons, we assume, for Best Supporting.
Right.
Thank God. And another movie that I kind of went, huh, Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
I saw that one twice, too, because I saw the first one. I'm like,
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you were talking about Boyhood and your personal experience, you know, I grew up outside of Philadelphia during that whole time and lived just a stone's throw away from the mental facility where he went to and through the mansion and so forth.
Right.
So I knew the story, the DuPont mansion. I knew the story very, very well.
Uh-huh.
And knowing the story as well as I did, I came to it sort of expecting something, and it wasn't the same story.
Right.
It's a very different story.
They fiddled with that story.
They did. They did.
So that's kind of Patricia Arquette, we know, is going to win. I've got to say, the best original screenplay.
Yes.
That category, and I wrote a piece for Variety about it. Every script is fantastic.
Yeah.
There is not a slacker. I would like to see Grand Budapest win because I want it to win somewhere.
Want to win it somewhere, although probably as far as of deserving it, maybe Boyhood, because it is such a interesting, original idea.
Right.
And although I will say that I finally saw Nightcrawler last night, just because now I can say I saw everything. And, you know, I didn't expect that. That was a really interesting film.
You know what? It's a fantastic film, fantastic performance, fantastic talent.
Well, speaking of fantastic talent, that would describe our guest, Thelma Adams, who is one of the greatest film critics in the world.
Thank you very
much.
You
are, you know that. And you can see her work at Zeal NYC. It's where you're working now, Zeal NYC.
Right.
For more information, go to ThelmaAdams.com, 1A.
1A.
ThelmaAdams.com, and you can read your stuff there as well. It's always good to see you.
It is a pleasure seeing
you. I thank you very much for making the time and coming on down.
Sure.
I appreciate it. And we'll see what happens on Sunday at 8 o'clock on ABC.
Excellent.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.